What is going on, people? We are back after a week off, Quinny, for End Product episode number 84. And of course, we have had a mega update, haven't we, Quinny? We've got so much to talk about on this week's episode. I'm excited to get into it with you, mate. How have you been the last week, particularly? It's been a bit of a roller coaster, hasn't it?
It's been a long week. It feels like 2 weeks almost. It's been that long in some ways. But I've been good overall, bud. I think the main thing, like last week when we were coming to record the show, it was just like in the immediate aftermath of the mushroom cloud, you know. So it was just cars were flying everywhere, glass were blown out of windows, you know, and it was just pandemonium and everything. No one knew what to think, what to feel, what was going on or anything. So I just didn't even really know where to start at that point. And it's been a long week or two, but we're back to tackle all the new stuff. We'll see what we get into today. As everyone is kind of setting out those kind of first foot, those kind of first foot forward in the aftermath of it. People are coming out their houses again. They're walking down the street to check on their neighbour. You know, maybe going to the shop now and picking up some bits and bobs. And so if you're, yeah. Things going on, so we'll be getting into all that today as well. And we've kind of revamped the show a little bit in terms of production and whatever. So we're out live now on YouTube and Twitch simultaneously, which is cool. And you might be listening to this after we've been live and recorded this, and it's on Spotify or somewhere cool. But yeah, links are in the description of all the broadcasts where to find the show and everything. Like and subscribe, share and retweet and all that good stuff. It's good to see everyone back after the kind of little hiatus that we've had, Stish. I was just regaling with you there. But yeah, it's been a long one.
It has been pretty wild, hasn't it? I think like you and I both jumped on Harry's stream, didn't we? Like live for the big update, and none of us really knew what was coming. I definitely wasn't prepared for it to be quite as dramatic and as big as it actually was. And I'm sure if you watch back on Harry's stream, I know you had to sort of duck out like a few minutes into it, but I was shocked. Like I was trying to read it and it was so much to take in. And I just think that like, long and short of it is the game as we know it is changing, isn't it? It's not going to be the same. There were definitely some bits of it that I liked, some bits that I didn't like. And we can get through to unpacking all of that on the show today. I'm looking forward to kind of chewing the fat with you, mate. But before we get into that, the big elephant in the room is, Quinny, any end product to report? Have you had any wins in the last couple of weeks? Anything exciting that we can mention?
I thought you were going to see my headphones there at first, but these big gold balloons on my ears. But no, last weekend was the last weekend of the old, wasn't it? The old normal, the old way of life. There was no end product for me outside of a good old-fashioned super rare 240 threshold hit. So that was all I got, unfortunately. The weekend, like it was weird. Celtic were playing in the cup and, you know, like a lot of my cards, some of them are injured, some of them aren't quite in fitness and form and all that kind of stuff. So it was a weird weekend for me. I didn't go into it with high expectations. And then, you know, just some things went against me. Some guys didn't peak score. And yeah, it wasn't much going on card-wise. But I've been seeing everyone else raining in cards last weekend. A lot of great rewards videos out there as well. Lots of end product in and around the community, which has been fantastic to see. So not much for me, Stishy Boy. But what about you?
I managed to get a couple of rewards in, actually. I'm just going to remind myself. They weren't like... I did actually have a win, though. I managed to finish... first I got another podium in, which was amazing. But with it being in one of those kind of like off key midweeks with not a lot of fixtures going on, the rewards were obviously not that exciting, nothing too exciting to report. I'm just going to get into my gallery and remind myself exactly of who they were. Obviously winning first place, you get a super rare and a rare in U23, which we'll get into. So I think part of it that is nice is that they are U23 rewards, new current season at least. Might not be as much of a big deal at the moment, but some quite interesting players. The first of which was the super rare, Jamie Llewellyn. He plays up front for Stuttgart, if I remember rightly. I don't know a lot about him, but I'll be keeping tabs on him. You know, his scoring output's not too bad. A little bit inconsistent for a forward card, doesn't quite get that AA that I like to have. But another win was Javi Guerra of Valencia. And he is a hotly tipped youngster, one for the future. Not sure how useful he'll be for me just yet, based on like what I've got available in what will be the new regions and U23, what I've got there. But I also picked up another Quinton Timber, second time I've won him. That's not a bad win. He's injured at the minute, but I think he's expected back this week or next. So, yeah, nothing too too shabby, but nothing that exciting. Apart from that, I've had another, like, you know, backup goalkeeper win. Not a particularly exciting one. Yeah, it's the Bochum goalkeeper. But yeah, there is some end product. I was a bit disappointed, actually, that I haven't managed to bring home any of those last sort of thresholds. I really went in heavy this weekend. I had a L15 of zero super air goalkeeper, which allowed me to squeeze Joey Veerman into my Cap 240 super air team. So I was feeling really confident going into it. And Veerman come off at halftime. Nothing to worry about. Apparently that was planned anyway. But yeah, no thresholds, unfortunately. But yeah, I've had a really good start to this midweek. The Ulsan game that just finished before we started recording, managed to get a clean sheet, a goal and an assist from my three players that were involved in that game, all in my All-Star Rare Plus. So again, if it's not just about the thresholds, it is about scraping the best that I can out of those Rare Plus divisions while we still can play them. So I'll be keeping all eyes on Mats Wiefer to bring it home for me today. Yeah, I think that I am currently projected second for the game week. So if Wiefer has like an average game week, which to be fair, like by his recent output is pretty high. So it's not, you know, I don't need him to go out there and score a 50. I still need him to bang a nice like 60, 70 to get in amongst like the top end of the rewards. But super excited for that. I think, yeah, I think winning cards at the minute with everything that's going on is definitely something, you know, there's a lot more to think about when you win those cards, especially when it comes to listing the in-season cards, as we've got that in-season switch happening at the end of March. So, yeah, I'm going to be fingers crossed for some slightly better rewards than I got in the midweek for finishing first. But yeah, end product has definitely been happening. And fingers crossed it happens again in the midweek, mate.
Yeah, good luck. I've seen, obviously, you're sending me that team earlier on. And aye, all the best, man. I've got four players still to run in that division that all play Thursday football. So I'm hoping to catch you maybe at the last minute. We'll see how the midweek shakes out. Not got much hope in it, but you know, I've got a good swing. I've got a good swing of a chance. Fikir and Roca playing for Betis at home at Zagreb. I fancy that's going to be one of the good games of the game week. So
yeah,
I've got my wee fingers crossed for that. So yeah. Maybe a wee bit of midweek to take us into the weekend. And this is the first weekend, Stish, where we're talking about thresholds. Milk Rain, first time live for him. He mentions with his only SR keeper, he feels like the threshold could be a trap. And the threshold could be a big trap now, between now and it's, you know, for the remainder of its existence, really, you know, with the whole set your target element that we've got to play with straight away, Stish. How do you feel about that?
I haven't had a proper chance to get into my team building for the weekend, but I think that that for me was one of the sorest points of the update, like the threshold between now and next season. I kind of expected that things were going to change, but I didn't expect anything to change maybe until the end of this season. I'm pretty sure we had in a previous update that threshold will be staying at least until like the next season starts, which would be August, right? So I was a little bit surprised when that happened, and I think it's pretty much nerfed in Super Air, hasn't it? I mean, it's such a big drop down. You're like almost like 20%, 25% of what of the actual previous award. Was it something like that? Like 25, 30% of what we're used to getting for just 10 points less. So, yeah, I mean, aiming for that mid-tier, the $320, which would be fantastic to win, but how realistic it is, I think, depends on your fixtures. And at a brief look, I just don't know if I've got enough players that are maybe coming back from injury or expected to really overperform this weekend. So I'm not sure if I'm going to be playing it safe or aiming for the higher tiers. What about yourself?
It's a funny one. I think at different levels, it's a different proposition, really, of risk and reward, isn't it? Because if you've got, like Milk Rain mentions there, the trap with the SR keeper, if you've got more expensive cards, then, you know, what is the strategy? Is it just bank what you can get and just aim for essentially the same target with a little bit of a little bit more help now? It's only 320 on a huge reduction. Or do you try and, you know, bin off maybe your D3 team that you were prioritizing your better super rares for? Try and squeeze them in if possible and go for, you know, the amount of money. Because if you think about it, like on the higher hit, right, or on the mid one, right, what was most people's hit ratio on the threshold anyway? I think mine's, I don't know, in a good period was maybe like 4 out of 7 at super rare level. I don't know, maybe at different levels for different people, it will vary, of course. But like if your hit ratio wasn't like 7 out of 7 or whatever it might be between international windows for your cards, then will your hit ratio on the middle one actually be that different? Because maybe, you know, maybe when you're bringing it in, you're actually maybe quite close to that, or I don't know. It's one of those, it's a consideration, I think, because it's not as if everyone was banging it, or maybe some people were, but not, most people weren't banging it every week. So yeah, it's definitely a bit of a trap. It's definitely a good move from So Rare in that respect. But I'm with you. That one felt salty, you know, when that one was really detailed when we got into reading that in the announcement, for sure. But it'll be an interesting one. I think it's super rare. I'm probably going to be conservative more often than adventurous, but it's rare. And, you know, when I've got America on, I've all of a sudden got 13 limiteds that'll be playing football. So maybe I just chuck them into 240 for some banter. Maybe that. I just flip it to the top every week and just, it's just a bit of a coupon or something, you know. But it's kind of, it's on scales, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think super rare for me might be more of a safe, playing it safe. Like, it really depends on fixtures. And I think, like, anyone who's got a bit of depth in their gallery will appreciate that there might be the odd week where going for that mid-tier or even, like, the 400 is, like, feasible. I had a little look at my sort of scoring history in Cap 240 just to see how many times I have hit over 400. It's not many, you know. Like, I think maybe 3 times I've hit over 400. So it is doable.
It's like winning the division almost, the top score. It's like saying I'm podium dangerous right off the bat. Yeah. You know, you're putting, you know, it's a real declaration to pick that top one with a big team, like your main team or your primary scarcity.
I think one of the times I did hit 400, I did win the division. So it's like, it's like one, that was it. The one time I've won Cap 240 was...
It is 240. You know what I mean? It's not All-Star or 270, it's 240. You know, getting to that score is
massive.
It's hard. Yeah.
Really hard. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I wonder if we'll get any kind of visual on, like, how many managers have shot for 400 this weekend versus the others. Because it'd be really interesting to see if there's, like, an individual... Not, they may as well have 3 different leaderboards, like the 400-point leaderboard, the just so we can always sort of cheer on anyone who is brave enough to go for the 400. I'd love to see it. It would be fun, right? Because we're not getting card rewards in there anymore, are we? Unless that's, or are we still
the aesthetic of it? You don't need to have separate prize pools for it or anything, but
yeah,
you could maybe it's even, nice or maybe even have on the leaderboard something that denotes what they've picked.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. It'd be really nice just to cheer on some of those guys that have gone for the 400. If you're going for the 400 this weekend, drop it in the chat. I know we've got someone in Twitch at the minute. FIFA Royalty said they're planning on going for the 400. So good luck,
FIFA Royalty.
If anyone else is in the chat looking at that 400 as a actual legit option this weekend, we'd love to hear from you, because I'm not sure that that's on the menu for me this weekend. Had a brief look at what's available to me. And last weekend, it would have been nice having that DMP keeper coming into play. I might have shot for it then, but, you know, I didn't even hit the low end of the threshold in the end with the underperformances that occurred in my lineup. But, I think in 240 super rare, it might be a 320 shot, maybe. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting to see the reaction from people coming off the back of it. Quinny, what were some of the other points on the update that really kind of stuck out for you? Obviously, we kind of just covered a bit of the 240, but what were some of the other sort of sticking points? What were the bits you liked? What were the bits you really didn't like?
Last thing I'll say just before we come on to that, but Gazza's just put the detail here. SR top reward, your five players need a 92-point average. I don't know what all the maths are on that with multipliers and such, but Gazza's an astute player, so I'll trust him on face value that that's pretty accurate, you know. So there, Joel obviously mentioned there's still card rewards in 240. Obviously, I tweeted out after the announcement happened, the number one thing that I was sad about and I was like sore about was the removal of like All-Star. And the main thing for me is like, I love seeing Soria going from strength to strength and kind of evolving and discovering, you know, what it is going to become ultimately. And, you know, we're getting to talking about that in the podcast today, of course, but the All-Star for me was kind of like the beacon of kind of like what Soria is about in that respect, where like it's any, you know, like you're a Celtic fan, you're a River Plate fan, you're a bloody whatever, and then through Soria you might even just pick up a team that you start following for whatever reason, and then you kind of back them, and you know, I just love that whole, it's, you know, it doesn't matter if it's Barcelona or Real Madrid or not, somebody else could actually do better this week, and if you've supported them and you've backed them, then there's some joy in that, there's some, you know, victory to be had with that, you know, at the very least, you know. And when it comes to like from that kind of sentimental point of view and maybe a professional point of view as well, like making videos and stuff, like for me, like the global aspect just gives people the most amount of freedom to play the game the way they want, you know. Like if they're going to be playing on a real budget and really hustle and buy wee guys over here and buy wee guys over there and do in season out of season whatever, you know, I just felt that that was a big I don't know. I felt at the time, I still kind of, it's definitely needed in the game somewhat. And I'm sure there'll be some interesting ideas because there has been a lot of onus put on the potential for special weeklies and some other things that we could maybe even float in the podcast and see what anyone else kind of thinks about. But so that was the main thing I was kind of ultimately sore about was like, there's and the thing with All-Star and all the rest of it, right? I understand all the negatives that go around it that anyone might put in the chat. I even got responses to the tweet about different things as well. But like, it's not about like the Wanizek problem and all the rest of it, because it's just rewards based. You know, you can change rewards to change it. It's more just about that. It's like, it's the global game. It's like, doesn't matter. Like, put together who you can. There's a division there where you can go at it. Maybe it is just to cut your teeth. Maybe it is for the best of the best, like it has been. But, you know, that's all. That's the only thing that we need to do in that regard, you know. It's just to change it from being like, rather than All-Star creme de la creme situation, how I felt anyway, you just need to make it like an underdog case in terms of the reward pool. Maybe the podium's okay, but everything else is rather naff, you know. And it is just that kind of learning pool. But that was the main thing. Otherwise, like everything else, like honestly, like going through the rest of all the new changes that we've got, it's really hard not to be excited about the elements that we all believe we maybe have a foothold in already, or we maybe have that first, okay, well, I'm halfway there to this, or I'm halfway there to basically doing this already. And those kind of moves like are, you know, pretty exciting when you look at the makeup of everything going forward and all the rest of it. So there's maybe a few other things we could get into. I didn't really want the show today to be about like just unpacking the announcements. We've all kind of done that to death. It's more about like, you know, it's, we've all digested it at this point. We've already seen moves in the market, and it is like, you know, the way forward, because I do think that there's a lot of stuff that's pretty surface level that, you know, we can all talk about and all the rest of it. But there's a few things that once you walk the gameplay down the road, like it becomes quite obvious quite quickly. There's some key things that, you know, we all need to be taking care of housekeeping wise.
Yeah.
With our own clubs, our own strategies to maintain that pursuit of end product, as it were.
100%. I think the first thing that kind of glared at me, specifically from my gallery, with that announcement was, you know, the split of rares and super rares, like wholly, like no rare plus. Yeah. It's like, wow, what does that mean for my gallery? And initially, I thought, I didn't really think about it that much. I was like, yeah, that's cool, you know, I play super rare. But it wasn't really until I got into the crux of where the new splits are going to be across regions. And it was only this week that I looked at it and thought, okay, I have got super rares, but where do they sit in the regions versus the rest of my gallery? Because I'm, when it comes to super rare, I'm mostly a cap and all-star player and occasionally U23 if the fixtures sit nicely for me. I don't really play in the regions. I don't play Challenger. I don't play Champ. I don't play Asia. I don't play Americas with super rare. Very, very rarely do I. So It should have really hit me sooner, but it didn't hit me until this week when I started looking at, right, as of like March with the split, we're getting the new regions and whatnot. What teams can I put out? I've got a lot of super rares in my gallery, but they're spread out so much. But there's such a heavy weighting of my goalkeepers in specific regions now that, like, I've got, I'd say, like, my best cards on the platform probably fall into that challenger. I think my kind of like Veerman, and I think three of my goalkeeper options are all in challenger. And then I've got maybe two or three super rare goalkeepers in contender, but then I've also got like O'Reilly there, but I don't really have a really strong forward unless Nicholas Kuhn like manages to kind of establish himself at Celtic as a starter. I don't have a great forward option there. And then I go to Champ and I've got Frimpong, I've got Kosunu, I've got Robertson, I've got Furyk, I've got a lot of really good super rares, no goalkeeper. And I'm like, wow. So those players are now basically as good as rares to me, unless I can pick up a goalkeeper or trade my way up. And I think a lot of people maybe figured this out sooner than I did, because I mean, the market's going mad, isn't it, Quinny, at the minute, especially for people that are maybe looking at that, the beginning of the Premier League. Obviously, we've had the specials through the festive season, which now we know was pretty much like the testing ground, wasn't it? Like, let's do this with Premier League and see what happens. And they obviously were pleased with the results of that. And they're now going to roll that out from now to the end of the season. It's going to continue as like cash versus cards, win with old cards with old cards and cash with new cards. And we're going to see that roll out from August in Bundesliga and La Liga. So something that's really sticking out to me is the valuations now of particularly Premier League cards, goalkeepers. I noticed Simply Alex put a tweet out yesterday, and I think it was David Raya's card almost doubled in value since the announcement. And it's making it really hard to get you guys in, because I think all of the sort of bot and trader accounts are a little bit wise to this already as well, that some people really need those cards in now versus some people that are going to be like ready to dump at the end of the season. Have you been making any moves? You've been looking at that, but you know, you raised it with me off air that the market right now is just crazy, isn't it?
It is. It's like everything is reevaluated now. Like the game is like going forward. We know we've got this. And by the way, I'm just going to say this right now. It's called the transition blog and the transition period. I don't like that. I'm going to call it the handover period, if that's all right with everyone. Because I'm not saying transition all the time. Like relentlessly, it'll just fry my brain after a while. So in this like handover period, we've got that kind of luxury of you can just kind of stay in your lane a little bit if you were playing Caps and All-Star and Under 23 and whatever, while this kind of new world has a kind of bit of a furore around it. You know, it is definitely going to be, like you say, like the market's quite ferocious for it, and people definitely get the sniff from the Premier League competition that, hey, if you can get into this, like you've got a fair shot at having fun and getting into the money places over the time span of the competition. People will be looking at the fixture list, weighing up the cards they've got, the cards they would want, etc. So I do think that we're going to really see in that handover period, we are really going to see a bit of a divide in the arena, as it were, because not many people are like, and there's a great comment here from Gaza talking about McBride going on and picking up some cards, okay? People are buying cards, okay? But that, most of the time, isn't really before selling some stuff a lot of the time. The market is moving, you know? People are getting new cards in, people are spending money, whatever, right? But I don't think many galleries are getting that much bigger at the moment, if that makes sense. So when these extra competitions become, I think the 99% of people will have to pick their battles. Am I playing in the cap? Am I going to go into the new region and try and fight for the money if I've got the cards? Or am I going to play Classic? Or am I going to just play All-Star? Or am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? I think there'll be a lot of decision-making, which is always great for SO5 when there's more decisions to be made about where cards can be played and what's the optimal play against the field and blah, blah, blah. That's when people can see opportunities and, you know, take them or miss them and all the rest of it. So I think the clamber towards the Premier League ones is quite exclusive to that Premier League part coming out. And it's definitely something that's weighing quite heavy on my mind is what to do with them. Do we treat them like collateral? And that, like, I've got like, in the Premier League, I've got like three or two. I've definitely got two that I've won and just hang on to because they weren't worth selling and they're really powerful players. But looking at the value of them versus the market at the moment, it's like, well, am I actually even going to play a new season this season?
Yeah.
And then, you know, so like you say, there's a few sides to the market going on with that. But in terms of have I been getting anything in, the kind of easy answer is no. I spent 90 quid on a rotation super rare Hijitafe that I've once owned and parted with and brought back in now. But that's just for a wee bit of, that's just for a wee bit of cover because my defence in super rare is absolutely shot to pieces at the moment with injury and then the regions the way they're split now, like the Celtic cards for me can't complement anything else I've got because the region split I've got, and I know this is a lot of pain American region managers feel at the moment because it's like Brazil, MLS, Argentina, Mexico, they're all kind of split up. So I've got that kind of paradigm I'm wrestling with at the moment. And I think that puts you, when you wear one region or when you wear in a regionist or, whatever, with the way the fences have been put up, like you really do need to. So for me, for example, like a big thing I'm weighing up at the moment with everything we're discussing is like the new season for now, I'm not really looking at too much. I could maybe play like one team in super rare, like once in a while, which is fine. Maybe I'll have a few shots at it. But for all of us listening to this, well, sorry, we're talking, but for anyone listening to this podcast, you've all been playing the game for a couple of months, a couple of years, whatever. All of us should be looking at the new mode of the game and thinking, what do I want the legacy of what I've been doing on the game to this point to at least represent or provide me in that new mode, if that makes sense. So, like for me, I've always been quite starry-eyed about the potential of Sorare to be like a pro game kind of thing. And it's like, you know, maybe like pro poker, esport kind of level. And to play it, and I've always had in my mind to play in those levels, you're going to need blues and blacks. And that's why I've always steered myself towards really just acquisition of cards at that end. I always try and think I can get guys cheaper than what they are and all the rest of it. Mm. And I do think a lot of the moves I've made are kind of in that direction. But even with that in mind, like the, you know, so if you've had that kind of similar approach to playing Sorare in the sense of like you're playing the game now because you really enjoy it and all the rest of it, and you see it, where did you see it going? Because now it's quite clear where it's going and you've got what you've got. And when you imagined Sorare getting to where it was going to get to, what did you want to have by then? Or what did you want to be able to do?
Yeah.
Or mix with in the leaderboards, that kind of thing, because the time to realize that is kind of upon us all.
Good point, that. And you kind of touched on there on, like, you know, like moving into like blues and blacks, and that was something else as well. You know, like one of the other things that happened in this new update was the removal of like unique cards in any super rare competitions. And I think you and I are quite similar. Like we're both like, we've aspired to get to that level, but maybe the uniques that we've got are kind of like, you know, the guys that we were fortunate enough to like be there when the auction was on and got what we felt was a bargain, or, you know, or won one in like kickoff. And so now we've not got kickoff. So winning uniques is going to be hard unless, you know, hopefully when we get the updates on the prize pools and these special weeklies, because at the moment, one thing that, you know, the biggest update before this was the one that was like, again, it was about progressing through the divisions from like a specialist to like Premier League amateur or whatever. And then it was like the limited, going through the limiteds where you could still use a common to like not using a common, to winning rares with limiteds, to winning super rares with rares, to winning uniques with super rares. But this new update doesn't tell us anything about, apart from the, I think that some of the limited competitions will have rare rewards at their top end in Division One. I didn't see anything, correct me if I'm wrong in the chat, anything about winning uniques with super rares or super rares with rares. So I find, obviously,
there the boxes, in the boxes, there's the potential for a little bit of, it didn't really specify at the top end, you know, and I think when it is at the top end, it's a little bit harder to achieve. But that that is one thing, like, you know, a lot of us on this, and that's kind of where we're all in the same boat, regardless of what region you were playing or what your budget is in the game, we all were probably crossing a bridge at some point, you know, whether it be from limited to rare, so on and so forth. And there was a framework there that was kind of running for the last couple of years. Maybe it had adapted and evolved, but it was kind of, you know, all-star pro. Cat modes come in later, but we used to have Underdog, we used to have Special Weeklies, and I know that's a bit of a buzzword now, but we used to have Special Weeklies like all the time. It would be one a week, right enough. It wasn't like multiples or anything, which I think might be a thing as well going forward. But oh shoot, I've just totally lost my train of thought, because I was just thinking on the Special Weekly thing, like, they now they do lots of Special Weeklies, and I do think it was a bit of a buzzword, but I do think that, like, they could have like 8 Special Weeklies. Like, they now we've got ones where it's like Lazio v Napoli.
Yeah,
and it's on tickets and stuff like that, you know. So is that a Special Weekly?
But I think it is, if you're
in my head and derailed me, so I'm really sorry. I forgot.
No, I think I think we do need to wait and see what the announcements on the Special Weeklies are, because
it was about the scarcity thing. So a lot of us were kind of working our way towards something probably, and then now when you look at it, it does feel like, you know, the bridge is, you know, there's a few steps off the bridge that have fallen. You know, so like, it's not as easy to keep going to the other side now. You really need to either take a run and jump and go for it, or, you know, kind of come back where you've came from and just, you know, and kind of live there in that regard for the time being, you know. And, you know, like, because like I say, when we get into that part in August, it will be at that point, line in the sand moment again. We've had a few of them in Soria, but this is the most ambitious roadmap of all, and it is the biggest set of changes, period, you know. The game is completely redefined at this point, and I think, kind of what I said a couple of moments ago about having your place set at the table is important.
I think it's such a big jump. And I guess, like, going back to your point on like the whole esports pro poker type analogy, I guess it does mean now that if you are looking to play uniques, you need to be like, you need to have
high roller.
You need a goalkeeper, you need options as well, because you know, just having 5 uniques isn't usually going to be enough. You need to have some fixture flexibility, etc. And especially then knowing that you're going into that unique division probably to just play against the Wales, who like already have that in abundance. And it just made me look a little bit at the uniques I've got, and it's like, I'm just going to be using them as super rares or limiteds, which, you know, it was one of the interesting points about the update, was like being able to move your cards down. Are you like a scarcity or two? So you can still use them. They're not going unused, which is great. But if you're trying to move up, you're not normally like buying the best. You don't have like a rare collection that you've ground and ground and ground, and then you go, oh, I need to buy a super rare, I'm gonna buy Mbappe, or I'm gonna buy Griezmann. You don't do that, do you? You buy an unheard of guy, probably like some like bench player from the K-League that you think might have a bit of potential, get them in your all-star rare pro, whatever. We don't have that now, so the situation that I find myself in, and probably yourself and a lot of other people who've aspired to like maybe work that grind their way up to a unique, is I've now got, I think, 4 uniques or 5 uniques, but they're all kind of average players that even in the super rare division, they're not going to be that great. They'll be probably better. They would have been cap mode players, you know what I mean? That's what you were building up to, is like, oh, maybe I've got a cap team there that I can then throw my super rare goalkeeper in with. Now we haven't got that. My uniques are basically like mid to low tier super rares. So the big conundrum for me is like, what do I do with that? And I think that goes across any scarcity. If you're a limited player who has a few rares, you probably feel that too. If you're a rare player who's got a couple of supers, you're looking at them wondering if they're going to be of any use, right? So, one of the things that stuck out at me was like, what does this mean for super rare? What does this mean for unique? And I think it makes the game sustainable, but it also does mean that I think we're going to have months of instability across that mid, you know, like that tier 4 to tier 3 range of players in any scarcity, but particularly in the scarcities like above, are probably rare and above, unless the special weeklies really bring it home. Because that, and you know, like, no one talked about legend cards, but legend cards are like useless now. They are like literally useless now, unless you just like collecting them.
Well, see, yeah, I think, yeah, it's probably the main space I've had for a lot of people who didn't get onto the whole reward hack that they offered for a little while. But Jonathan B brings up a great point here. And it's, you know, he says it's an easy fix. It's changed unique to two divisions in that regard. But that kind of, again, when you look at the examples that they've put in the blog, none of them are real concrete. They're just mock-ups. That's what they say. They're like, don't take these numbers too literally. They're just like fuzzy examples. So there's a lot of onus being put on the divisions to maintain value, like further down the market. And we've been chatting about everything is revalued at this point. And because people think, very rightly, in my opinion, you've got three teams, so you don't need, you know, six teams worth of depth anymore to cover caps and regions. You only really need to just cover the region in that cap depth. Those squad players, those kind of hit and hope guys aren't as necessary anymore. And we've seen hundreds of them, like, at rare level, at super rare level, at unique level. Well, their prices have plummeted. Maybe some of these cards aren't as expensive as we're perhaps making out. But these are ones that are not terribly useful, maybe on face value, perhaps, and or overly appealing for immediate utility, which is where a lot of the money is moved out away from. But we don't know how many divisions there are, you know, on any given game week, whether it's a set amount of divisions for the season. Is it flexible to the amount of participants as well? Because, you know, like, when you look at all those divisions, there's a consistent, if you look at all those mock-ups that will say, like, 28% rewarded and 26% rewarded and 30% rewarded, like, on their wee ratios for cards and boxes and stuff. And, you know, there seems to be a kind of pattern there, if nothing else. So, like, there's a lot of pressure put on the divisions to maintain the use of some other cards and to give people the wins to claim the game, as it were. But we have got no idea how many divisions there will be and what will dictate more divisions happening, divisions opening and closing and that kind of thing. Because a unique one, as just the example, right, only had one division available, which is why, on the mock-up, which is why I think a lot of those cards will have went down more than maybe the other ones on the basis of that news individually, if that makes sense. But if we get to game week one in August and Unique has three divisions in it, and Champ or Contender or Challenger or something like that, then that will change a lot, or two, you know, even like Jonathan B said there in the chat, it will change a lot of people's idea on valuations and viability all of a sudden. And that goes for rare, limited, everything equally as much, you know. But it's hard to live in that grey zone because we don't have the bridge option. Now, we do have that kind of, like, I said this talking to someone, but see with the Unique, super rare, rare, like, being able to play down, they're all kind of like, they're kind of like MasterCards in that situation now, you know, where it's like, you don't really get an XP bonus, but you get that flexibility of, yeah, they can just kind of play anywhere. That doesn't really cut the mustard for people like us that have been on the bridge already and paid like real prices for these bridging cards, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But now some of those bridging cards, like if you were to pick up a 90 quid super rare, that's maybe a 30 quid rare, like, you know, that could be a good move if you did that often enough and then you're locked boxed in and whatever. So there's so much, like, depending on when you see, like, oh, in super rare there's 12 divisions or something. I don't know. I'm just throwing random numbers out there because they've just given us random numbers, you know.
Yeah, not, yeah.
You know, so.
Do you know what? Something just popped into my head, and it's the first time that I've even thought this, but you just kind of said something that made me realize that, like, for someone like me, what is the point now, unless I've got like really high tier limiteds? And this maybe go back to the point someone else brought up about McBride selling all his limiteds to go into rares and whatnot. Technically, I can enter my uniques into limited or into, yeah, and just, like, you know, treat limited as like an afterthought, because the competition is going to be so massive in that division that it might almost just be like, for anyone that's got supers, uniques, whatever, you might be able to just treat limited as like a, almost like training with rewards. So it'd be really interesting to see how many of those sort of like uniques and supers and rares end up in the limited competitions. But I think, if anything, this, I never even realized it, but it actually probably strengthens my limited output, just having the odd rare here and there that I can't normally use or won't normally use. It's like, well, you know, they go into a limited competition, they go into the limited special weekly or something like that. But I never really thought about that. But I'm going to end up with some, I'm going to end up with more limited entries, but they won't all be limiteds. They'll be sub goalkeepers or something that I've got, or they probably won't do particularly well. So I'll probably be like a whale in like D5 of limited or something like that, where like just absolutely getting hammered by everyone in limited because I'm using like really poor super rares in my lineups. But I never thought about that. I'm like, I should be able to enter teams in most of those limited divisions. And if I can't, I can pick the holes up cheaply on the market, especially using old cards, like especially how cheap goalkeepers are now. You know, you can pick a limited starting goalkeeper up for less than a tenner quite easily now. And then you've got that to play with, haven't you, for the foreseeable. So I never even thought about that, but yeah, like I should be able to get more lineups out with that in mind. But yeah, one of the other things we kind of mentioned off there that we would talk a little bit more about is, like, you've already talked about we've lost global. However, one of the parts of the update that didn't really see the amount of change that other parts did was U23. You know, that is still going to be a competition where you can scout and use the cards of the players from any region in the world against the likes of Jude Bellingham and, you know, the Viniciuses, and you can still potentially win those with your guys from Japan and Korea and America. So some people were in disagreement with me. I saw that as like, you know, U23 pretty much the same. But then I think that the announcement of like no sort of cash prizes in U23, apart from podiums.
One podium.
Apart from that, is it just the one podium? Yeah, so the first place gets it. Is that in off season or in current season as well?
There's only classic, so there's no money league for U23.
Right, so
that's the aspect of it that people think it's nerfed. Like, you can't be an under 23 player and play for cash. You know, you can only be a card player.
Well, that's interesting, because that in theory takes Jude Bellingham card holders out of the pool, because anyone who's got a Jude Bellingham is probably going to use him in champ and not in U23 now, right? Unless they don't care about the cash and they're just trying to win the next like young talents or whatever. But I think that's one thing, isn't it? Is U23 is going to become like the scouting division, as you called it when we spoke off air. Are you like looking at U23 as a kind of legit position to exploit? Are you going to be continuing your scouting missions across the world? And like, kind of, I mean, like, is that going to itch? Is that going to scratch the itch that is missing for you not having All-Star, do you think?
Well, I know that the way I feel, right, number one, is the under 23 division as it stands, like you say, it's definitely the way it's going to shake out. So it's going to be the kind of the best place to, if you're a scout and you've got an edge and you've got a wee sniff on a guy that's breaking through to a team or whatever. But it's the final like bastion of that like global aspect of the game somewhat. And yeah, the way I've kind of ended up digesting it all is like under 23 has remained there. And I know from speaking to Soria myself, like the main reason it's there is because everyone loves it. Like they're, you know, they've kind of built all this on feedback. I think they've mentioned that enough themselves that they listen to the community, they engage as often as possible and all the rest of it. And it's clear that, you know, under 23 has stayed because of the love of it. It has been unmovable in that regard, where it would be bad for business. People would not enjoy not having under 23 part of the game makeup sort of thing. So I think that's a win for the community, number one. And I just kind of wanted to say that so you're all aware of it and make sure if you do love it and you enjoy it, to keep the love going somehow, some way, if you can. But for me, like, yeah, so under 23 is like it's now the division where, because like the thing I loved about Soria, I kind of mentioned earlier, like scouting and what's your budget, pick a wee guy up from here and pick a wee guy up from there. You can still do that. But it's only going to be under 23s. And really all that means is you're just not scouting for the Cecinha or the rogue guy that Romulo that moves to Brazil or something. Now all of us, you're not scouting players that are in their career at the peak of their career or getting a dodgy transfer. You're scouting actual emerging talents at that point then. And they could be from all over the world if that's all you're into, you know, and you've got a wee division you can live in. And if you've got the edge and really knowing when that guy is going to actually play and when he's actually going to play well, because that's what your main focus is on, then yeah, I really like the space that under 23 can take in the new kind of landscape of it all, as it were. But it will be a joy over ROI division, yeah. I think, for most people. You know, like, but there will be top cards to be won, because it's interesting cards that will be won, you know. Yeah. So it is, but so if you can get the better ones, the better U23s that are still like kickers and champ or kickers and contender or challenge or wherever they live, then, you know, the people that can, they can rock hard in those divisions with that edge will probably, you know, there'll probably be a good bit of joy there.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what's in those prize pools. I think that there's been some talk that we should get an update a little bit more on what's in the prize pools before the end of the month, right, in the next couple of weeks. And I think that once we see that, like, what are we going to see in the U23 prize pool? You know, are we going to get, like, top-end tier ones and potential stars? I don't know. But not having cash, I don't see any reason why we shouldn't have, you know, if you want people to continue scouting and buying the youngsters and playing that division properly, why not have the odd Jude Bellingham in that prize pool, or, you know, your Erling Haaland in there once in a while? Like, I think that it needs to be in there personally, but, you know, we'll find out. I'm just having a little look through the update now to see if there was any kind of indicator on what tier, but I don't think we've got any idea of what kind of tiers will be in there. But for me,
Danny said in the chat here, like, and I think, again, all the sentiment I've had from speaking to them, but Div 1 is, I think Div 1's always going to pay out good in every division, you know, classic and season, yeah, da, 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 U23, whatever. I think Div 1's always going to be, oh yeah, let's get into that league. I think they've really built this, because a bit of the feeling that I get from this versus the old system and from, you know, hearing from them and whatever, is that, like, this new prize system feels like laser focused down the barrel to reward people that can get into the top, like, in those mock-ups, it was like top 25% or so, give or take, on the regions, yeah, and whatever. And I think, like, yeah, the Div 1, they're going to, like, they said it on the Sorry Ramble, but they want you in Div 1, and I don't think that will change in under 23 or anything. I think it'll be the prices, yeah, will be
more. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how the divisions work, and that's part of the reason that I've not really been able to strategize fully until I know, like, what division am I going to be placed in and why, or like, at what point do you get told what that division you start in is? Because I think that if it goes just based off of sort of like gallery value or gallery size or rewards won, then you know, a lot of the sort of older players, the people who've been in the game a long time, will find themselves in that D1, D2, regardless of like the quality of their gallery. Versus, you know, I think what I'm really hoping for here is something that works a little bit like, you know, like the lineup builder on So Rare Data, where you get a score. It's like, oh, this, based on this week's fixtures and like the quality of your cards, this is an 86. Therefore, you can only enter this in D1 or D2, because otherwise you're going to have people who've got three entries, which we all have, right? You'll have the big galleries that will go, right, I'm going to put one in D1 and try and win, but I'm going to have two in like D4, which I know are going to smash and just guarantee I get and get a prize this week. And then they'll move up. The way I understand it is that D1 will either get relegated or stay in D1. And those, the two D4s or whatever that you put down there that smash are both going to be moved up to D3 for the next game week. So that, I think it's only really going to matter in that first game week, isn't it, what division you're selected or... But it'll be really important how are they selected. And I think it's going to take maybe a month or two before we've had the shakeout and like everyone's gallery quality is kind of matched to like how many entries they have in D1 or 2 or 3 or 4, or if all of them are in 4 and you've not managed to make your way out of it yet. And I think it's really hard to strategize until we can see that a bit more clearly. But for me, that is the one bit of the update that I'm like, there's no way they've figured this out yet. Absolutely no way that this is like built into the code. I'll be amazed if like they have a clear view on how this is going to be deployed. Because I don't know about you, but what can you in our sort of like game building mechanism on the main site, where in there gives you any indication of like how good your lineup is going to be? Like, I'm not even sure that is built into. I think that we're going to have the option of where we want to position our lineups. I don't think that we're going to be put in divisions. We might have the divisions suggested to us based on the size of our gallery or something like that. Like, you have 50 champ cards, therefore you're a D1 champ player. You have 30 challenger, therefore you're a D2 to challenger play? I don't know. What do you reckon? Have you given much thought to that? And has that affected you?
I heard the guys on Surya Data, I think, maybe speculate that it might be your manager level, like the, for the challenges and stuff like that, because they kind of signify success at different scarcities and maybe some other tertiary things in the game. So I wouldn't be surprised if that, maybe. I think everyone should get like the first team, like the highest ranking team they can into Div 2, Div 1, Div 3, whatever your gallery's at, for whatever scarcity. And then it should probably just be like a random allocation thereafter for everyone's second and third team for the first, like for the first week, you know? And then, you know, that's what this handover period is probably there to do, is, you know, separate the men from the mice and all the rest of it. And then, you know, I know they'll reset it next year, but at least then they've got a track record, because the previous competition doesn't really tell you anyone's chances of success in the new one, you know, because when we're talking about classic mode, there was a nice kind of question or topic that kind of knocked around there with some of the people in the live chat talking about McBride and talking about NEP in terms of both of the angles they've taken were limited. And I think like what that does really tell you is exactly this. And NEP said it on the SD podcast I was listening to, I think it was yesterday or something, but like collection bonus and having high XP cards in classic mode is paramount if you want to like pass and take names from the word go kind of thing. And to use those two as examples, like the Penfez has always been like, from what I listened to from him anyway, in terms of limiteds especially, and I know he sees it in other scarcities, but limited, it was all about build a club, get the full club, doesn't matter about all the caliber of all the players, but get it to 5%, get it cooking, and do it again, and do it again, and do it again. So for him, at limited, for other people at rare, super rare, whatever the scarcity is, they have got hundreds of cards at their disposal to play three lineups and three each in each
combat,
you know. So in classic mode, it's going to be brutal at the top end, like where all these things come into play the most, you know. Because if you've got three contender lineups going out, especially now in this handover period when all the leagues are on, right? So to use NEP as the example, in like contender, I don't know how he is across all regions, right? But in contender, there's like 15 divisions in there across like Bundesliga 2 and Korea and Scotland and this and that. He's going to be picking his best three lineups out of 15 leagues he's probably got. And I'm just making numbers up. I say 12 clubs and like 10 of them are on 5%. So he's going to have chalk everywhere, you know, in that regard. X, Y, and Z kind of transplant that. And McBride, although a big gallery at limited, although a big Celtic collector, of course, he probably still has a Celtic element, but all the other stuff I know from speaking to him, like he's selling, like, I think he sold like, I'm just like five James Madison limiteds. That's how his limited gallery's been built. It's been built by like going and get like four of the same goalkeeper and go and get five of this guy because he's cheap and stuff like that. So I think that really tells you what the classic mode is going to shake out like. Like you definitely want the Madisons that can rein into the big scores or whatever, but to really smack, and what the Penfez is doing is really clever, because if he can smack with three lineups in three regions, like that, he can get nine payouts, like quite feasibly, you know what I mean? And he's used his muscle in terms of, you know, strategy and wallet to carve himself a really good kind of situation there. So I think that kind of that's one of my main worries for Classic, is that brutality of like the difference between the haves and the have-nots on the XP. But that's where divisions really need to save players from each other. Yeah. You know, the divisions need to protect people in that regard. You know,
I hope they get there. I think they will, but I do think that first couple of months is going to be a lot of carnage, a lot of people not really figuring out there'll be people that do figure it out and just like rinse it and just clean up. And there'll be people that are just sat there like, I can't win. I'm not in the right division. I'm not enjoying this. I guess one other thing was the reward boxes that are going to become commonplace. That always gives everyone that element of like, you know, most of us will win at least the reward box, right? There'll be more of a buzz of winning something, even if it is just some more arena tickets or something of that. And yeah, I like that part of it as well, because there's always that potential that you might win something really exciting inside that reward box. And I guess I'm assuming like in terms of card rewards, those reward boxes will always be a limited and not a rare or anything like that, depending on where you play. I'm assuming that the only card rewards...
A Div 1, I think you're getting double scarcity potential. It is RNG-based, of course, but if you're scooping up 12 of them and then there's multiple boxes on different payouts and stuff like that, like, you know, it's... So what we've always seen at Limited is just, like, a more extreme version of what happens everywhere else anyway, and it's also, like, what will happen when there's X amount of cards in these other bands almost. It's kind of like... You know, the trailblazer almost, and that's probably not the best way to phrase it, but you know, it's the furthest one down the path in that regard. And it kind of takes me on to what I was saying at the beginning of the podcast. Like, especially most people that will be listening to this show, like, if you probably have a couple of rares, maybe you are limited, you might play with blues and blacks or whatever, but like, when you come into this August mode, like, what do you want your journey on Soria before that to have given you, or for you to, you know, what is, because we've all played this game with some sort of blue sky. Oh, Soria will become, Soria could be, you know, whatever. So, again, I think that further emphasizes that because, like I say, again, it's three lineups into one region across. And again, when everything's on, there's a lot more there. When you split the regions into EU and not EU, you see especially Contender and Challenger, it's actually kind of just like a prime and a beta. You know, it's not really, it's, you know, so anyway, some other kind of parts of that that go around there, but... For Classic mode, which we're all going to be playing because we've all got Classic cards, because Classic cards is every card that is currently on Soria, and every card they're going to make between now and August is going to be a Classic card as well come August. So, you know, where, you know, what is your, what's your base? You know, what's the first, but you know, in that August, where do you want your club to be? Where, you know, where are you going to win cards? Where could you get the D1? Where might you try and get a money team? Is it La Liga or Prem or Contender or, you know?
Yeah, I've been looking at that even for like the split in March before we get like the new season. We're going to get like a bit of a flavor of it, aren't we, across the divisions as of March. So I've been looking a little bit, most of my cards that are new season, I'm a bit gutted because I sold a few like in season cards through the stage of this season, a couple of goalkeepers that would have been really useful to try and win some cash now had I known. But I sold a Van der Voort. Like, would have loved to have had that. That would have been great. But and I also swapped a Grimaldo in season for the previous, like Benfica Grimaldo, for someone who was collecting. So that would have been really useful. I've not got that now. And, you know, if I wanted to swap that back now, that would be way different to like the 60 quid difference that I took. I think I took the swap plus 60 quid for his old Benfica card versus... You know, the jump in difference now must be hundreds, probably. And it's especially sore for me because I think if looking at the cards I've won this season, I've actually won a few decent Bundesliga ones. So I've got a half decent, like the beginnings of a really half decent champ entry into like post the split. I might actually have a shout at getting some cash wins in champ with, you know, Harry Kane, Joshua Kimmich, Ruben Diaz as the spine. I just need to get a couple more champ in seasons in, and I should have a champ entry in season. Again, obviously, we don't know how deep these prize pools are going to go, but you'd like to think that, you know, in the current format of champ as it is, those three in a lineup is good now. So it should be even better when you split the old cards from the new, and you're only playing against cards from this season in those kind of cash positions. So, yeah, I'm fingers crossed for another couple of champ in season card wins to hopefully bring a lineup together for that. But have you had a little look at that, Quinny? Have you got yourself in any kind of, have you got anywhere in your gallery where you look and go, I've got an in-season entry there post the split at the end of March?
Yeah. Jonathan B, again, great contributions on the show today, mate. Thanks very much. He's saying that with the regions coming into March and, all, you know, where there's going to be a lot of opportunities perhaps with people trying to play the caps and all the rest of it. And like, I could play one full team of in-season cards at Champ Super Rare, which sounds fun, but I'm looking at McBride and Pranksy and all these people that will be entering three lineups each, you know? So it's like, am I just a lamb to the slaughter in that regard? So I think there'll be a lot of interesting dilemmas. At Rare, I've maybe got the... And obviously, you can use one out of season, you know, but I've got enough that I could play a full team of them. I've got a wee bit of options there, which is nice. And at Rare, like, I won a Taki Kubo this year that I've kept. Same with Gab Mag and a Christian Romero. So I've got defense and attack set. I'm not sure if I've got a mid... I have checked this, but it's just all falling out the back of my mind all of a sudden. I've got a Zakarian, but he doesn't really start. And I've not got a keeper in season. at the moment. So at Rare, I'm not really too sure what I'm doing really on a lot of levels. You know, so I've got a firm NYC collection, which is a challenger island for me now. You know, it's the only thing I've got there. Plus, like Daniel Wass at the Mighty Brombie, who are going to slay Midgetland this weekend. Shout out, Laird, if you're listening.
Challenger Island sounds like a reality TV program. And he's Challenger Island.
It is a bit of an island region, and I say so at Rare, like, I'm still in a bit of a blender situation in that regard. But one comment I did want to shout out just before I finish my breath here is, Will, thanks for joining us, mate. He's playing against Lee Griffiths tomorrow night, so cannot wait to see you in the live chat after that, mate. Fist pump, and hope you have a good game. And that's funny to see. Yeah. Wonder, like, what's the game? Because I know he must be right low. He's either like low amateur Scotland now or something, or is he still in Australia? In fact, I don't even know. But yeah, cheers to the comment. That's a belter, and hopefully you get some end product against Griff.
I've seen that. Keeping an eye on the little chat that we've got here in Twitch as well, actually, to shout out a few of the chatters. We've got a few new chatters. Dem7, welcome, new chat. We've got Rampant Storner, who says, "I think we should all be lumped into the bottom division in the first game week and just enjoy the absolute carnage."
No.
I don't want to be anywhere near Nanzo in those competitions. If the divisions can do anything, it could hopefully separate some of us from Pranksy. But yeah, I definitely like the idea of having a shot. I do think I've got like a D1. I definitely have a D1 ready champ entry in the old season cards. You know, having an Mbappe and then Donnarumma and Ter Stegen. I think if you've got the really good goalkeeper, you're set, right? So I would expect a lineup like that to be in D1. And I'm just going to have to put up with the fact that I'm going to be up against three Pranksy lineups. But bring it on, man. Like, I've got the cards. I've won the cards. I didn't buy those cards. I've been fortunate enough to grind my way into those kind of lineups. So, you know, I think it would be ridiculous of me to sit here and moan about being put in D1. Like, I'm here. I've worked my way into D1. Like, let's have it. But the in-season, off-season, I mean, how much carnage are those first couple of weeks of August going to be on the marketplace? The card wins that you get in those first couple of weeks in the off-season cards as well are going to be, like, really highly sought after. If you want to get rid of your cards, if you have no interest in playing for cash, I think you're going to have no trouble selling the big wins in the off-season cards. So really excited, actually, for that part of... That, I think, is, you know, that can make or break. That August is either going to be pure pain, or it's going to be like the timeline on fire of people like winning cards that are now worth double what they were this time now. So, yeah, I think, any kind of predictions for that first couple of game weeks, Quinny? Like, how are we going to be seeing
in number March, one? Or March or August, we're thinking, sorry.
So I'm thinking August, when like the new in season really starts for the cash like that. Can you imagine, like, no one, every, like you mentioned earlier, every card at the end of this season is then going to be an off season card. So we're only going to have at the beginning of August, when we get the Bundesliga, Premier League, La Liga cash tournaments, plus the cash version of Champ, Challenger and Contender. And the only cards that are going to be enterable in those first like week or two, unless they get the cards out before the season started, which we'd hope they do.
I think that's the plan.
They have to do it, right? It has to be done now. There's no ifs, buts, or maybes. You have to have them. As soon the day that those players get their photographs taken for their like Premier League lineups and their Panini stickers, so rare need to have them ready to just load into the code that's already written in the graphics engine that just starts plowing them out, and they're in the market before even the transfer windows close. They need to start getting the players that are in contract, at least, like this player's here, you know, get the base sort of starting 11. The main players for that team need to be on the market before a ball's kicked. Otherwise, it is going to be carnage. You're going to have about 20 entries in the whole tournament, and three of them will be Pranksy. And do you know what I mean? Like, those couple of weeks are going to be wild. It's going to be mad in those cash tournaments, and any of the cards that are eligible for it are, in my opinion, potentially going to be worth double what they're worth now. But also, I think the worrying part of that is anyone that buys a card in August is going to have naturally feel a bit deflated about the price point of that card come January, more so than we've ever seen, I think, because people are going to be flipping out of cards for next season, sat on ETH, sat on cash, ready to regurgitate the situation in August, the next August, like sell, buy, grind. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see with no All-Star how that works, because in August, when the sort of European competitions close, the competition is a lot greater, isn't it, in those other tournaments as well. And the cards are maybe not as sought after in some respects. So people that have the big wallets, they might not be that interested in like scooping up the All-Sand stack. I don't know, but we'll see, I guess. But yeah, what do you make of that? What are your sort of like, what are your predictions for the kind of market at the beginning of August with the new tournament starting?
I think, yeah, the biggest one will be probably, I think people, so kind of what Gaz is saying here, like how will they choose the divisions and stuff? I think the very first week is just when it's a bit of a free-for-all. And then after that, they want you to maintain status and prestige. You know, like if you are a D1 multiple entry or a D2 multiple entry or a D1, 2, 3 or a D2, 4 or whatever. So I just think it's the first week where it's just going to be a wee bit mad. And then they're looking to, you're looking for you to keep engaged, probably, to maintain the divisions you're in. Maybe if you miss a week, I think I've seen some sort of response that there's been some sort of allusion to the fact that if you miss a week, you're maybe demoted or something, you know, or whatever. I don't know how they're going to work it. But I do think that that's an angle on the divisions. It's not just set three teams and then it's like a master leaderboard, then just divided into sections. I don't think that'll be the way it works, but you never, I don't know. But yeah, I think for August, like, it's going to be, because at August, we're going to be at the tail end of, we're going to get in-season MLS cards imminently. And, you know, so on and so forth with the non-EU ones. So we'll have in-season and region, right? And what's going to happen, first of all, in August, is when those cards are playing at the same time as the European cards are playing, that's their apex. You know, that's their moment where J&K League players are winning you, players from Zagreb and Celtic and Bundesliga 2 smashers and La Liga clean sheet fiend goalkeepers and all the rest of it. Yeah. And that's what's going to help, or, you know, maybe the old way of like crossing over regions. It's kind of within a region now between the EU and the non-EU aspect. So at Champion, you don't really have that non-EU potential to expose that. You know, it's not like MLS is in there or, you know, Brazil or something else, unfortunately. So
yeah,
you're going to feel that button, contender and challenger, you know, is getting those cards on early. And maybe if you get like a fluky transfer because of when things come back on in the transfer window, like I've got a Timo Werner in-season Leipzig card that qualifies to play Premier League in-season because it's an in-season Timo Werner kind of thing. So if you're winning, you know, the back end of the transfer window, if you've got a wee Arthur Vermeeren that moves, you know, right at the end or something like that, like you're catching an in-season thingy-ma-bob, I think that might be some cute wee angles that emerge from the people that have in-season cards already. I suppose in-season's all about the money aspect. In fact, it's not about winning the cards, I suppose. But ultimately, if you've got galleries that are that efficient, where you're working in the cash realm anyway with new season MLSers or whatever, classic cards as well, then you'll be capable of winning those cards in that vortex moment.
Definitely. One of the questions from the chat, we got, I mentioned Dem7, first time chatter. Also, so Dem7 says, how would these changes impact people that have low budget galleries that are around $200? It's a good question. And I think, what do you reckon?
What you were playing. If you were a £200 rare player, you now need to be a £200 limited player. Like, that's kind of, I think it's more about what you're playing. And then it's just concentrating in, you know, like from that regard, you know, because it's like me and you earlier on talk about blues and blacks, like we are not unique players, you know, at all. We wouldn't categorize ourselves as that in any way, shape or form, you know. So with these changes, it just kind of, you know, it just casts the die on your current situation, your current resources as well, your current status of club. You know, it's just, you know, you are what you are. There's no shame in it, you know, it just is what it is. And the market is what the market is. It's no one calling people names or, you know, or anything like that. But it's just like, hey, if you've got 200 quid of rares, you're probably, depending on what they are, like, and so maybe
They've said that they're Challenger Europe, mainly like now Challenger. So like it will be Challenger. So Eredivisie and Belgium League mostly, which I think is a good thing. The fact that, and they're unlimited as well. So Eredivisie and Belgium are in the same pot, aren't they? They are in Challenger. They'll continue to stay together. So you'll be able to use most of your cards in the same lineups, which is great. And if you've got a $200, £200 sort of like limited, then I'm imagining that you've got either a small amount of really good cards or you've got a nice amount of kind of flexibility. But the fact that you've got mostly cards from the same region, or that will be the same region as well, then you should be able to get multiple entries. So you might actually find yourself in a better position than you were, because where you might have only been able to enter a cap mode, an all-star and a challenger team in limited, now you're going to be able to, or at least you'll have three lineups in challenger and maybe hopefully in the special weeklies once we know what they look like. So you might find yourself with an extra lineup or two, who knows.
Like any advice between now and then, like make sure those collections you've got are minimum, like depending on your resources and your means, but minimum like 3%. You want them at 4 or 5, especially at limited, but you need them. If you just need to go buy a guy for 50p and buy a couple of guys for a quid, I would say that would be very smart at this stage, you know.
I'd say as well, like on that point, Quinny, let's talk a little bit about stacking, especially in limited. Stacking with everyone getting lumped into these new, like now bigger regions, having, like, let's say you're a Celtic collector, as you are, but let's say at limited level, if you're a Celtic collector, how worried should you be of other Celtic collectors running the same lineup in, you know, they can now only technically run that in the one tournament, which is the out off season contender pool. You're going to be competing against every Celtic collector out there. So unless you've got some kind of differential in the mix, it's hard to see how you beat the top collector of any club if you collect them in your scarcity. And that can go across all seasons as well. Like if there's someone with the 2021 cards top collector and you're the 2022 cards top collector, you need to know, well, what percentage are they packing and what cards are they playing with? It's going to be really interesting to see how stacks play out, especially in limited.
It's a really understated part of collections, especially teams that are across multiple seasons. But what you don't realize until you're in this direct situation that you're referring to is that there's three different squad rosters for each of those collections, you know. So there's only two O'Reillys, there's three McGregors, there's three Carter Vickers, there's three Hitates, there's three Kyogos, but there's only one Palmer, you know, so on and so forth. There's only two Alistair Johnsons, whatever. So when it comes to that aspect of it, it's going to come back to, again, it's really going to come, the thing it's always going to come to is the highest scoring player, ultimately. So to use Celtic as the example, which I hate doing, because I know people probably hate it at this point, but like you're only really building a stack around Scales and O'Reilly. No one else this season has been that nailed. And even if you look at most of the other traditional powerhouse teams, even the good ones, Real Madrid are top of the league. Could you tell me what the nailed on Real Madrid stack would be? Probably not. This year it's been... Who's
playing in defence, it's difficult, isn't it? I think apart from Jude and, you know, like up top, Vinny and...
Yeah.
Or just Vinny, you can, like Rodrigo's not even completely nailed, is he? So...
Then you've got the car crashes of like Benfica and Ajax and Bayern Munich and also Celtic that we're referring to. So like the stacking part of it, like you mano a mano against someone else. I don't think it's going to be that bad, because like so many people will pick Kyogo rather than Palma, or people will pick, you know, Grimaldo over Frimpong, and that's a huge mistake, as we know. or whatever they're going to do, you know. But what will be the kicker is like what you furnish that with in the region, you know. So Celtic's probably a quite good example, because also in that region, you could have had like last year, I don't know who it is this year, right? But last season, it's Wanizek and Jan-Nicholas Besti. Like if you had like Scales, O'Reilly, Jan-Nicholas Besti, and then like Shankland or something like that, like that's probably the team that wins, you know. It's probably not a five-man Celtic rig, especially if Joe Hart's the keeper. Because again, in that division, there's lots of keepers that pop, you know, Argentina, La Liga 2, whatever. So like the value but is like the collection being at 13, 14, 15%. If you can play scale, and just as in this example, if you can play Scales and O'Reilly in three teams, then that's your power with being the team stacker, if you get me, you know. And then it's your wit to furnish them with whatever. Maybe it is one of them is a stack, fine, you know, but that'll be where that's really the problem, or really the challenge at hand with that.
Yeah. No, it makes a good point. I think it's going to be really keen viewing. I mean, I'm not a big stacks player, but I think it's going to be really keen. I'm going to be keenly watching it, particularly limited, because I think the supply being what it is, you know, like there's thousands of any given player in limited, you know, like how many Hans Vanaken limiteds are there? There's a lot, right? I mean, limited is different because it doesn't go as far back, but I guess like Hans Vanaken in rare, you know, that goes back since day one of so rare. So there's a lot of Vanakens in the rare division, in contender, for example. And I think supply is going to come in pretty heavy. It's going to be really interesting to see how it all plays out. But Quinny, we got a game week ahead of us. Obviously, the big.
Can I give you a pop quiz on that Vanaken point there before you take me there? Right, pop quiz. Anyone in the chat? Don't cheat. No Googling, no so rare data in this one, right? How many limited cards do you think Vanaken has, according to so rare data, at this moment?
Right. Having a guess. Limited. Let's think. Three seasons.
Three seasons.
I would guess about 1,000, 1,200.
Great guess. There's some great guesses coming in the chat. We're on a delay, so we'll see them popping in. But at this moment in time, it is exactly 999.
Oh, wow.
So he's not even had a full 1,000 limiteds across three seasons until tomorrow or something. On that note, how many rares do you think he has?
Oh, I bet he's got more. Wait, how many seasons? No, wait, let's see. How many years has it been going there? Is it 5 or 6 seasons we've had now?
I'm going to say 6.
6 seasons, rares. I reckon 450.
Close. Rares is 369.
Oh, wow.
So that's more than a third of his limited allocation, if you're thinking about ratios, because I know people love all that 3x limited and 4x a rare and all that crap, but it's over a third, you know, so that's a funny one. We pop quizzes up.
Yeah, I think, do you know what? One thing I will say, actually, like on the...
I'd like to buy the 1,000 of Vanaken Limited. Heard it here first.
Yeah, yeah. So I keep getting offers for my Romulo card at the moment, not just because I guess he's got number one, but he is a card that has low supply, who is known to score well. And I guess like those outliers who do play at these uncovered teams or these unminted teams, we should say, not uncovered, they could continue to be the cheat codes, couldn't they, really? Even with these massive 15-team divisions that we're now going to have.
In contender, yeah, because that's where they all are. That's where China is. That's where Ecuador is. Colombia.
Yeah.
If they add Saudi, you know where that's going. You know where that's going straight away. You know, so contender is like the Royal Rumble in that sense. Like if you have a guy that goes to China or something like that, then this is a question I asked someone. I can't remember if it was the Telegram group or if it was Harry or somebody. I don't know. But let me ask you all this, and instead you can take me to the weekend and the outro, right? But would you, in the changes, like if they come out and they said, oh, by the way, all the blue X's that we're really affected by, like Saudi, Greece, what's the other one? There's like 3 or 4 blue X's that come up every once in a while. I forget what they all are, but Saudi and Greece are the two biggies, like Sweden and maybe something else. Those main blue X's come on coverage with no extra licenses, but if your card's transfer there, you're covered. What do you think? Well, they're all in contender.
Well, they're definitely going to end up in contender, aren't they? Let's be honest. I mean, Saudi is the only outlier, isn't it? Because of the level of player that's there, but the level of competition isn't there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they're not, they kind of by hook or by crook have to go in contender because of the rules that have been set by So Rare and the whole Opta thing, right? Surely they're in contender. But, yeah, that'd be an interesting one. I think at the moment they're only going to be useful in special weeklies, aren't they? Because it'll be the Asian Champions League is pretty much Asian Champions League and European Champions League are the only times that those cards, or international, obviously, if they play for their international teams, the only time those cards are useful is midweeks, really, well, unless it's finals.
One thing that I know hasn't been kind of spoken about or whatever, right? But see, on that special weekly note, and we kind of came close to talking about this earlier, I suppose, right? But we've mentioned already how the Premier League cash winter competition thing has obviously informed them quite a lot for all of this stuff. And it feels like the monthly has been a bit of a loss. You know, I don't think it's really, people have really like, oh, nah, monthly was so good. And it doesn't feel like so rare or that buzzing to lean into it any further at the moment. But it would be, I don't know if there's some way of maybe doing the special weeklies, maybe over some sort of monthly format, perhaps, and some sort of, you know, like anything goes, winner takes all, like all expenses paid, VIP trip to blah, blah, and, you know, or something. I don't know. Just a wee thought that came to me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm buzzing for special weeklies because I think that they've backed themselves into a corner a little bit with getting rid of All-Star. That it's like, I know if they've had any kickback from people like us who are like making content about So Rare, it is, what's happening to All-Star, man? And no cap modes. And, you know, all I loved cap modes. I've made no bones about it. I love the cap mode, not just because of the cash reward, but I love the fact that it gives me a reason to hold on to some of those like low L15 players because you need them to squeeze them in. And without the cap mode, it kind of like, what am I going to do with those players? They're just going to end up maybe in a limited lineup or something, or training. I don't know. They're not going to be of much use to me. But I have very high hopes that these special weeklies are going to be like, they need to excite us. They need to get everyone buzzing. They need to, you know, like nay the doubters out there a little bit. So fingers crossed for a big update on the special weeklies and the divisions and all that kind of stuff, the prize pools as well, which we can expect soon, right? I think by the end of this month, they said. So
yeah,
I'm sure they're chipping away at that. But Quinny, as you mentioned, going into the weekend, have you been putting your lineups together for the weekend? Are you going to be heading into the cap modes again? Where are your big lineups likely to be headed?
The position I'm in at the moment, and again, a lot of people listening to this show might be in a similar one. I know you are too, Stish. But like, with the parts of the changes that I'm not happy about, I don't need to like remove myself from anything I'm enjoying for now, and I'm not going to. So like, I'm still going to be playing All-Star like Super Rare with my unique McGregor while I can still use him. Yeah. Still going to play for Threshold while I still can. And when the new things come open, everything outside of that, I'll then dip my toe in the water, try and discover what's competitive, what's working, what I can lean into and whatever. So this weekend, I've not really got further and beyond that because I've just had fun doing it for one last time. As it feels like, even though I know we've got this whole handover period, but you know, picking a wee All-Star team and seeing people from different regions going, oh, did I play the guy from Colombia? Oh, you know.
I'm the same.
To myself in that sense.
I've been looking at that very similarly to you, in fact. Like, I am enjoying the kind of like the final moments, the latter stages of All-Star, as we know, and especially Rare like Plus. I've been very much enjoying that because I don't think that like it's been like to the detriment of my All-Star Super lineups, just because of fixtures and fitness of some of the better cards that I've got in my gallery. I'm definitely you know, trying to squeeze the life out of the final stages of those Rare Plus divisions in hope to win some decent cards that hopefully will like push me into a cash entry when we go beyond the split in March, once we get those kind of first iterations of cash and off season, in season. So I'm all about the cards. I'm a little bit less worried about winning the thresholds now than I had been over the last maybe 4 to 6 months. I think I'm probably likely to be looking more at like strengthening Rare Plus teams than the cap modes this weekend. But that might change once I get into the lineup builders and start seeing like, have I got any potential overpowered cards, that kind of thing. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be really interesting to see where people put their big teams this weekend, and especially interesting to see how people pick their targets for the cap modes. That is going to be cool. So yeah, if you're watching this on Quinny's YouTube, which some of you are watching right now, when this video finishes live and it goes, it like exists as a video, like drop comments. Like, we want to know, drop a comment now, what you think you're doing the weekend. And then, you know, come back here on Tuesday and let us know, did you meet that target? We want to see if anyone hits that big 400, especially. Good luck to anyone who's doing that as well, by the way. We wish you the best of luck. I'm probably not going to be shooting for the 400 this weekend, but Quinny, it's been a pleasure as always, mate. Never a chore. And yeah, the chat's been on fire. It's been really nice having you across YouTube and Twitch. And this is something that we are hoping to be able to continue moving on. So yeah, do join us live on Twitch or YouTube, and make sure that you are listening back, Spotify, Apple Music, all your podcast platforms. Quinny, it's been a great episode. We had so much to talk about. And yeah, best of luck, everyone, in the game week. It's going to be an absolute stormer, I'm sure.
It's been a great one, Stish. Thanks very much, mate. And yeah, good luck, everyone, this weekend. And go get some of that end product.